It is sure a big day here at KRFY Community Radio for the Idaho Panhandle on the first Tuesday morning show where we have Full Strength Tower. Tell us more.
Oh, my gosh. Jack was out there till 6 o'clock last night getting that tower going, and he pulled it off. We are broadcasting throughout the entire county, and you'll be hearing all day his little announcement when he came in last night. It's really great, and we're excited. We can't even say, I hope my friends out in the country are listening today. They've missed KRFY.
They have. And, you know, it was pretty sketchy in the country where I live, and I would get it, but it was not in perfect condition. And we've waited a while. It's been several months since our tower had to be moved, and we were on local-only range here in town mostly. We were still streaming live, of course, but we didn't have our full range, and I think it's going to be a little better now, isn't it?
It is. It is. And we do want to hear from everyone about what is the signal like for you and how far is it reaching? It's just good information for us.
It sure is.
For the future.
I couldn't agree more. Well, we're going to have a great conversation this morning, but before that, we'd like to do a little bit of weather. And so I'll start with that, and then we'll introduce our really fun guest for today. Guys, if you're in the snowy mood, there's a chance. There's always a chance, but there's a chance today. The high, weather high today is going to be 27, 30% chance of snow, and then a low tonight, 24. It goes on this way throughout the week. Highs in the low 30s with about a 30% chance of snow, lows in the middle 20s or so. So plan on a good chance of snow, and if you're a Nordic person or a alpine person, it could be good either way. Julie, I haven't been up to Schweitzer yet, but I have been Nordic skiing at the Blue Gate, and it was really nice.
Good, good. It's that sparkly, pretty, light snow.
It was pretty fluffy. I liked it, but I've got to get up to Schweitzer.
Yes.
So that's on my list for this week.
Good, good.
Yeah.
Well, great. Today our show is called Garden Musings, and we have the perfect guest for it. We have Renelle Hansen, who is a column writer for the Sandpoint Reader. She writes the column Dirty Secrets. Welcome, Renelle.
Thank you, Julie. And Julie.
We make it easy on the guests.
Yes.
Julie.
So let's start by you introducing yourself to us and our guests and our listeners. Tell us what you do, what your gardens are like, and why you're writing for the Reader.
Well, that's not a very long story. I'm retired now after having worked for the radio stations. I also was part owner in a school for adolescents and Zany Zebra in town. Mm-hmm. So I did quite a few things like that. But always during all that time, I've been a gardener. And I love gardening. It's like therapy to me.
That's great.
So, that's all I do, really.
That's great.
Yeah. Do you write other things, or are you just writing for the Reader?
I'm just writing for the Reader, really. I occasionally write a letter to the editor and, you know, get my angst out.
Oh.
Once in a while.
Sure.
But I try not to. I try to keep positive, and that's what gardening does for me.
Yes.
So in the wintertime, I'm looking at garden catalogs and planning for next year.
That's great. I read all of your articles on the Reader, and I really appreciate how you are very interested in your neighbors in the garden, the other living creatures that live in your garden. Talk to us a little bit about who those creatures are and why they matter.
Oh, they matter for sure. I preach a lot in my column, you've probably noticed, about not using herbicides, pesticides. Every living creature in my garden is one I welcome, except maybe aphids. I don't think I welcome them. But I try to keep the habitat friendly for all of them. And at this time of year, I'm mostly concerned with cover for them, so I let my shrubs be kind of wild, and all the bushes with berries, they're there, and a place for them to hide. So I don't trim back all my seed pods every fall like I used to. You know, I used to have a garden that kind of looked like a nicely constructed quilt in the fall. Now I let it be wild because the birds need that. And I have a clematis vine that grows on one post on my porch, and lots of birds nest in there in the winter, and they take cover in there. And I let them all do that. I'm not discriminatory. I feed them all sunflower seeds mostly, although the squirrels get more than their fair share, but that's okay too.
That's right.
Yeah. So I try and protect everything in the garden.
I appreciated this year, especially when you wrote about not cutting your flower heads off. I have done the same thing through my gardening life, is trimmed everything down, got it all neat, got it mulched and everything, but left nothing for the poor little birds. So this year I took your advice. I left everything until, of course, the hard frost, and now I'm starting to knock some things down. But I think it's a great idea when you see those red-winged blackbirds come in the spring. They're coming to the seed pods that are left from last year. So
that's
it
right.
It only makes sense.
And the mountain ash trees, they're, you know, birds are all coming to them too. So those are a good source of food.
So which shrub do you think is most beneficial as a habitat for your birds?
I would say maybe the Oregon grape.
Oh.
Because of its thorny little leaves and the berries. And it's, the only thing is it's kind of low to the ground. So they also really like my fir trees.
Yes. Yeah. And spruce. I see a lot in
lots of spruce. Yeah. And they're kind of thorny too.
Yes.
So that's a good place for them to hide.
All right. Well, I don't want to be the Debbie Downer of this interview, but
her plants, seed heads that really spread into the lawn. And so, for example, like the coneflower, she asked to have trimmed back. And, let's see, there were a couple of others. But what about those ones that if you don't get them, they're just going to make little new plants everywhere? That doesn't concern you?
No, it really doesn't. You know, if they're in the lawn, I mow them. Other than that, I welcome them. I the seed pods on those echinacea and coneflowers are really nutritious for birds, so I leave them. I'm not concerned.
The only one I'm concerned about is the globe thistle.
Oh,
that has hundreds of seeds.
Sure.
But, you know.
I have oregano all over the place. It really likes to spread. It smells great, though, in the lawn.
my spreader, my one that spreads the most is mint.
Oh, yes.
And yet I let it because the bees absolutely love it, both catmint and peppermint.
Right.
So, you know, I have to pull that a lot.
Speaking of bees, let's talk about mason bees. That's another of your favorite subjects.
It is. I love mason bees. I'll be a Debbie Downer now because I kind of had a die-off this year.
And
here's why, I think. I usually buy in the spring bees from Crown Bees. There's a little ad for them. And they send the cocoons, and you put them out in your mason bee house, and that's great, except they're in Oregon, Mason, the bee company, and their weather is warmer, and so that last shipment that they can ship is really too early for us. And there's nothing blooming that they can eat. So I usually go and buy, you know, a bunch of bedding plants and put them down there by the bee house. But this year it was so cold and so rainy, they either fled, which I hope that's what they did, or they died. So I don't know. But usually in the fall, I harvest the cocoons out of the houses. They're in little tubes.
Mm-hmm.
It's really quite a fun thing to do. And then you take them out of the tubes, and I just put them in a little Tupperware thing with holes in the top, and put them in my refrigerator crisper. And that's where they sleep until spring.
And why is that necessary? Because they can't make it through our winters?
Yeah. Ah. I suspect that some do.
Yes.
You know, they find crevices. Yeah, yes. They are native, and they do find crevices to get into, but they don't survive in the houses. Hmm. You know, they're too exposed, I think.
Yes.
And if I put them in the bushes and kind of hide them, they don't seem to find them. So that's my Mason Bee story. So I don't have any in my crisper right now.
Oh.
I've ordered some for spring, and I'm going to give it another try.
Yes, the bees are terribly threatened, and thank you for taking every
they are
you can think of to help them survive.
Well, the mint is the biggest thing. I mean, a lot of times in late July and August, my mint plants are absolutely covered with bees, and you can hear them. Also, crabapple trees.
Oh,
they love those too. So anyway, I'm looking forward to getting my new bees.
Good. I'm going to try again this year. We tried it a couple of different years, but never kept them in the crisper. And we'll see. Now we'll see maybe 5-6 of the whole house coming and cocooning different years. But, yeah, they don't survive without that help.
Yeah, they need that help.
Yes.
Besides, it's really fun.
Well, the little bee cocoons are in the refrigerator, hopefully well labeled so that no one mistakes them for like a... I don't know.
Well, if you see them, I don't think you'd mistake them. They don't look real appetizing.
Good. No. But we have other winter things that we're thinking about. And one of those is the birds. We've talked a little bit about the birds, but let's hear about your birds you're feeding, how you do it, and how do you take care of hygiene? Because that was a problem for me last winter.
Well, at this time of year, I don't worry much about hygiene because I really don't have feeders per se. I throw the seed down. I do have one little bowl that's on the ground that I clean every once in a while with a bleach solution and put back out there. The summertime is different though. I have, I don't know, I never counted all the birdhouses I have, but probably 20. And it's important every spring to clean those. Take out the old nesting material, scrub them if you can, you know, get rid of any that are falling apart. And, you know, that's really all I do. Mostly at this time of year, I just scatter seed and let them do the rest because they're smart. They know what to do.
Well, I hate to bring this up, but tell us about how you're combating the sparrows invading your birdhouses.
Okay. I know. They're invasive. Everybody tells me that. They're the ones that live in my clematis mostly. I found last year that if I redesigned my birdhouses to make an opening that isn't a round hole, but is a little rectangle that's about half an inch big and 3 inches long, they can't get into the birdhouses, because that's the worst part about sparrows. They will get in and kill the baby birds or eat the eggs of other birds. So far that seems to work. And I kind of think, you know, sparrows just want to live too, just like everybody else. So I allow them some leeway.
Yes, but of course would like the other birds to have a chance too. So
well,
I like your attitude. Make some spots for other birds, but we can't worry about every single sparrow.
Right.
Do you keep water?
You know, I try. It's been so cold lately that you put the water out and it's frozen in no time. I live across the street from the lake though.
Oh.
So I'm not too worried about that because I see the birds flying over there to the lake to fill up. But what I do is put like a bucket of hot water out there, and it's cold enough to drink real soon.
Mm-hmm.
And then every other day or so, I replace it.
It's just such a great draw to have water in your yard.
Yeah. Well, in the summertime, I have bird baths and, you know, those little solar-powered fountains in bird baths. I do that too because the hummingbirds Love that.
And it keeps your bird bath cleaner. It aerating.
It does.
That.
It does.
I like those solar.
I do too. Yeah.
The other creatures you talk about are your pets. The pets and the garden and what we need to worry about there.
I have one pet, a little fluffy white dog. We got her. She's kind of a COVID dog. We got her during the pandemic. She's two now. Last year, and I think maybe this is what you're talking about, I have had two beautiful grapevines. And she got really sick one day, and I didn't know what was wrong. And then I found out that grapes are very poisonous to dogs. And she was very sick, had, you know, and took a vet visit. And I thought she'd eaten one or two that fell off the vine. They had to make her throw up, and there were like 20 in her stomach.
So she likes them.
She liked them a lot. And, you know, the same is true of raisins. They're poisonous too, obviously, because they're grapes. But that was kind of a wake-up call for me. So my daughter and I dug them up, those grapevines, and she took them to her farm out in the Sully Valley, and now they're doing great. And she makes all kinds of jam and all kinds of stuff. And so she's making grape jam out of those old grapes. And you have to really watch. That's one of the things you have to really watch. At this time of year, I kind of worry about poinsettias.
Sure.
They're really poisonous. Lots of houseplants are.
Yes, they are.
Diffenbachia, I think, is another poisonous one. So
I can tell you that citronella is not poisonous because my little 9.5-pounder munched on some and I called the veterinarian hotline and they said, no, that one's not known to be poisonous, but your dog may throw up. But he had a good little meal of citronella.
Well, that's a happy ending.
Yeah. He had some interesting breath for a little while.
Yeah, I bet. Well, I didn't mention cats. We don't have a cat currently. Our 22-year-old cat recently took off and probably died somewhere, but lilies are super poisonous to cats in particular, probably poisonous to dogs too, but I know that one of my daughters had a sweet little cat that munched on lily leaves and there was nothing the vet could do for him and he died.
Oh boy.
So be careful.
Speaking of very poisonous plants, I do want to mention about the wildlife. Let's talk a little bit about, you know, caring for the wildlife that are sharing our environment with us in the winter as well.
That's a good topic. Currently, I have two moose in my neighborhood. Same bull moose that comes back every year, but this year he has a little friend with him who's younger.
That's strange.
It is strange. I know. It's very strange. But I know that you is poisonous to them, or is
yes.
that? Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Japanese you.
Yes. Not the native.
Right.
Right. Yeah. Because they love that.
Right.
And I have watched them, out my living room window for years. And I see the way they sort of prune the trees. They don't do a lot, in my yard anyway, they don't do a lot of damage. Mm-hmm. They just strip some leaves and if there's an apple around, they're happy about that. And then they move on. So, right. And deer, lots of deer. Like I said, I throw sunflower seeds out for the birds and the squirrels. Deer love them too.
Sure.
And it's not good if they get too many. Mm-hmm. So I just put a few out because I know they come at night. I see their little tracks in the snow. So
bears too. I know seed will draw bears as well. I've had friends in the country have to quit feeding because the bears are up there in their seed.
My daughter is one of those people in the country. Yeah, she can't. When the bear comes and wants to raid your feeder, it's really destructive. I mean, they're not careful. They just come and knock everything down and have a good feed. So.
No.
Yeah, we don't have bears. I live out at Ponder Point, so we might. Here's another wildlife story that doesn't concern me. It concerns my brother, who lives out off of Colburn Culver. And they keep chickens, and he went to put lock the chicken house the other night, and the chickens had been in the little fenced chicken yard, and a wildcat, a bobcat, got in there and ate 10 chickens. Actually, didn't eat them, just killed them. Oh. And it was still in there when he opened the door, and it panicked. So it ran to the wire fence, tried to climb it. You know, finally, he opened the gate, and it found that.
We're all pausing, listeners, because there's like some kind of interesting like Nixle report going on in the background. Just carry on, everybody. We'll figure that out later.
I know my phone is paused or muted. That cat got in there, and he said it wasn't much bigger than a house cat.
Right.
But it killed all of his chickens.
Oh, boy. That's a shame. A lot of predators for chickens. I mean, talk about meat on the hoof.
Yeah, raccoons are famous for that too.
Skunks.
Yeah, skunks, weasels, all those guys.
Yes, all those guys.
Anyway,
speaking of feeding wildlife, let's talk a little bit about the wildlife food you can buy at Walmart and what a terrible idea that is to feed the wildlife. It can't be good for them.
Well, I see people at Walmart, as an example, with big bags of deer corn.
Yes.
Well, deer corn is like, it's like candy.
Right.
But about as nutritious as candy, too. Mm-hmm. So it's a real bad idea.
That's what they use to fatten cattle, not to grow them, to fatten them.
Yeah.
And the other thing is, if you feed at your house, you're bringing the animals closer to the roads, to the highways, and then you're endangering them. So it's kind of a...
Yeah, it's a bad deal. We've interviewed Fish and Game a number of times, and this topic will come up. And the thing that it really does is that it concentrates them in small areas. And if we're worried about chronic wasting, that's an issue. So we don't want the deer all milling around together for that reason. So, don't get corn if you can help it, if you can help yourself.
This seems like a good spot to take a song break.
I think so. Well, listeners, if you're just joining us or if you joined us shortly after the beginning of the 8 o'clock hour, this is KRFY, listener-supported community radio for the Idaho Panhandle. It's Julie K. and Julie P. Day, and we are really very excited to be joined this morning by a local columnist whose name is Renelle Hansen. Renelle, we're having a great interview and talking about things that you write about for The Reader. Anyway, on to a song break, and we'll be back with more interesting topics. Looking ahead to the song, and if I can read it without my cheaters, it's one that Renelle likes and chose for us. Well, that was a really nice version of Big Yellow Taxi, don't you think, Julie P?
Yes, Joni Mitchell.
Yes. Once again, this is KRFY, community-supported radio for North Idaho, and you are listening to the Tuesday Morning Show with Julie Porchinski and Julie Calamine, and joined here today by Renelle Hansen. She's been telling us about what she does in the garden, and I think we're about to hear about her writings.
Yes, Renelle, what drove you to start your column for The Reader?
Well, I'm an avid reader of The Reader. I think that they are wonderful writers, all of them. But I was missing gardening. I really thought that there should be something in there about gardening because so many people do that here. And so I just called Ben, who I've known for a long time, and he said, yeah, we could use a gardening column. I think he was thinking, that's some content we don't have to generate. And now I work with Zach, too. And I just, write whatever seems seasonal at the time and whatever is interesting to me. So I'm taking a break from it now because for December, January, and February, our gardens are sleeping.
Sure.
And they need to do that. So, I just take a little break then and do a little more reading myself. I'm a big reader, and I'm an English literature major, believe it or not. I mean, it doesn't do me any good except crossword puzzles, possibly. But I've always been a big reader, and the writing I do is not formal writing. It's you know, like radio copy I've written a lot of, ad copy, that kind of thing. A little bit of journaling, and I think I said before, once in a while when I just can't stand it anymore, a letter to the editor.
That's good.
But I try to refrain from that. So that's, you know, my writing is really just very informal and casual.
Great. Great. So, well, since it is our December show, our pre-Christmas show, let's talk a little bit about your favorite gardening-related items that you may gift to people, including books.
We talked a little bit about books pre-show. I have a book that I don't know if anybody has ever even heard of, and it's written by probably one of his minions actually wrote it, but Prince Charles, who's now King Charles.
Yes.
But he is a big advocate of organic gardening. And I received as a gift several years ago a book about his organic garden in his big estates. And it was really informative, and it kind of gave me a little more appreciation for him. And he talks about problems that he has with plants on his estate. And one I remember is he was talking about boxwood, which I have a little boxwood hedge that's been there forever. And every once in a while, it has a big brown spot where stuff dies. And he has a solution for that. So, and it's also a very beautiful book. The pictures are gorgeous. Okay. So I love that one. Michael Pollan is a great author, and he has one called The Education of Gardening. I think I wrote it down because my memory is bad. A Gardener's Education.
Okay. That sounds like a good one.
It is a good
one. He's so good.
I've read Botany of Desire by him.
Yes.
Very good.
That's also good.
And what about Your Brain on Mushrooms? It's not the exact title, but he's just written about that.
I just read that, actually. Yeah. That's interesting.
Wow. Michael Pollan.
That's not the title, though, listeners.
No, it's not, but I know which one you mean. And there's an old standby that I always tell beginning gardeners about, and that's the Sunset Western Gardening book.
Yes.
That's like a Bible.
It's tome. Isn't it a huge book?
Yes. It is.
Well, yes. I have the Rodale's Encyclopedia of Organic Gardening, which is encyclopedic.
Yes.
So you want to learn about aphids? Go to A. It's right? Just the perfect early gardener book.
Yeah, that's a good one. All of those are good gifts.
Anything
for any
Rodale is.
Yeah, they're
Rodale
so good.
They are.
They're so good.
They are.
There are a couple of gadgets, if you want to hear about that.
Yeah, let's go to gadgets.
Well, there's something called a mantis. I don't know if you know about that. It's like a rototiller, but small, and gets into tight spaces. It's gas-powered and really handy.
Yes.
For just, you know, working up the soil, et cetera. And any good hand tool for gardeners, I think, is a great gift. You know, the little cheap ones that you buy are okay for a while. You know, you buy them at Walmart or whatever, and they don't last.
Right.
But you get the good ones, and they're kind of an heirloom.
I got, last year for Christmas, I got a ratchet pruner. And it'd been years since I'd even tried a ratchet pruner because I found them to fall apart. But this one was Ace Hardware, and it's just, it works great. I can't recommend it enough because, you know, our hand strength is not maybe what it was. And usually your pruners are a little dull. So that ratchet gives you that second pull.
An extra lever, really.
That's
it makes it much easier. I couldn't agree more. Yeah. That's a good tool for aging gardeners.
Yes.
Yes. And the mantis, I'm not sure which brand you like because I would like to know. I hesitate. I want one, and I haven't bought one. Is yours a Honda, or is it Troy Built?
It's Troy Built.
Okay, and that's a good one for
you. That's a good one, yeah.
Good to know.
You have to be careful to empty the fuel in the fall. We didn't do that one year, and
that'll cause trouble.
Yeah. But, yeah, it's really a good one.
And be careful not to loan it to people.
That's really true.
That's how we lost one year.
Is it? Yeah.
That's very funny and true.
Yeah.
Right.
I have to mention Wendell Berry. I don't know if he's a farmer and a writer and an environmentalist, and everything he writes about the landscape is just so lovely and loving.
I have not read him. I'll have to do that. Thank you. Uh-huh. I mean, I know who he is, but sure. I haven't read any of his writing. Oh, that'll be good.
Soil thermometer. Did I mention my other favorite?
No, but I couldn't agree more. I love the soil thermometer. Yes.
That got me through June. I kept waiting and waiting and waiting to plant my tomatoes, waiting and waiting.
Yeah.
And I planted them July 2nd.
Yeah.
That cold, cold, wet ground.
Cold and wet.
It's a good gift because they're not that expensive and not everybody has one. And they really are so useful.
Yes, they are. They are. Well, Julie, anything else? Ranelle, anything else you want to add?
In terms of gifts and gardens. Gifts.
Well,
let's talk about what you're making for gifts. You know, there's another way to use your garden.
The main thing I make at this time of year are wreaths, Christmas wreaths. So I use a wreath form just because, you know, the metal form, but you can use the grapevine thing too. I just go out and cut a bunch of greenery, mostly cedar, because it's easy to bend, but some of the other evergreen trees. And then rose hips. I have a nice big wild rose bush in my garden that makes these great big red hips. So I use those to decorate it. And then, you know, I have other little doodads that I have collected over the years, like little birds and stuff that I get my glue gun out and go to town. And the best part about that wreath making is that my two daughters come over and help. So we all make our wreaths and show them to each other, and that's fun. And then a bonus was I made a wreath, I don't know, it's probably been 3 years ago, for some friends of ours who were away, but we were taking a walk and there was a moose sitting on their front porch.
Oh, nice.
So I took a picture of that and sent it to them, and then I made them a wreath with a bunch of little moose on it.
Oh,
and then she just emailed me a picture of herself with her first time ever homemade wreath, and she put those little moose on it. So
very cute.
It's a fun thing to have for yourself and also something nice to give.
It is. People are thrilled to get wreaths. It really touches something in us.
Well, I have a very close friend who lives in Florida where it's 80 degrees right now. I just talked to her this morning, and I sent her a little box of evergreen clippings, little box of them so she could smell. She lives here in the summer.
Okay.
So I thought I'd remind her.
All right, disclaimer. What does the post office say about that?
I don't know. I did not ask them. I just boxed them up and sent them.
Probably no biggie. We won't ask.
Well, yeah, there were no explosives or sharp objects. Yeah, no alcohol, yeah.
I was thinking mountain ash berries might be pretty on a wreath. Have you tried them?
I have tried them, and they don't last.
Ah.
They sort of shrivel up and drop off.
Same with holly. Holly will not.
Yeah, I use the leaves because they're such pretty green and add a little texture. But the berries don't last. Right. Yeah, I mostly use rose hips because they do last. Mm-hmm. I cut them in the fall, and I have a greenhouse, so I stick them in the greenhouse, let them dry, and then use them for wreaths.
All right.
Yeah.
Looking ahead.
That's right. Do you all use any of your garden produce in the holiday season? Has anyone put up anything that would be used now during the holidays?
Well, my favorite for Thanksgiving is a squash casserole. With the acorn squash I grow.
Oh.
Nice. Very nice.
That is.
And all the herbs.
Yeah, the herbs.
Yeah.
I don't grow any vegetables. I'm maybe weird about that, but I love flowers. So I grow lots and lots of flowers, and then I go every Saturday to the farmer's market.
Oh.
And buy beautiful vegetables.
Beautiful.
And support our local farmers, too, so that makes me happy.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah.
That's great.
Finally, And this is our last word with every garden show we have. Share with us how your garden is an antidote to your spirit, how it improves your life.
Well, that's easy because even when I worked and had high stress jobs and all of that, you know, an hour of weeding is better than an hour of therapy. I mean, you can weed along and think about whatever you want to think about or not think, which is also good, and then feel better afterwards. And it still works that way for me.
That is a tonic.
That's great.
It is.
And how does that work for you in the wintertime? Do you have another antidote, or are you just waiting for the spring?
It's hard in the winter.
Harder.
Yeah. Yes. You know, the gardening, you know, I have a few little houseplants and stuff, but not.
But
nothing.
You've got your birds. That's
I've
nice
got my
thing.
Birds. And then, you know, I do stuff like make wreaths in December, but yeah, winter's hard for me.
I enjoy my garden when I'm shoveling. I'll look around and mm-hmm. see what's happening and look at the seed pods or think about, oh, that would look better over there. You know, I kind of really do engage, even though I can't see anything under the snow while I'm out there. I visualize what I want to happen this next year.
I guess I do that too. Sure. I hadn't really thought about that. Yeah.
And of course, Julie Perchinsky's got a little greenhouse that she can run out into and warm up and see what's growing indoors in the winter. That's got to be nice right
lots,
now.
Lots.
Yes. Very nice. Well, I don't think I've got anything nicer than those two ideas, but I do enjoy some of my indoor plants right now. I have some herbs and I'm still enjoying produce from my garden, some garlic, and I've got potatoes and a few carrots hanging around. So I'm still enjoying the fruits of my garden.
I do a few dried flowers too. So I have them interspersed on in vases and
right.
Know, like the status and the straw flowers.
And I do it with hydrangeas.
Hydrangeas. That
yeah.
is a
That's true. I
yeah.
do the same. I
yeah.
have them too. They're very pretty.
Yes, they are.
Okay. Well, Rennell Hansen, columnist with the Sandpoint Reader, thank you so much for joining us today. It's been a real pleasure speaking with you.
It's been my pleasure. Thank you for asking me.
Yes, it's nice to meet the face behind the column. It's been such a nice talk. So relaxing, and we learned a lot.
Yes, we did. Nothing is more fun than talking about a garden.
That's exactly right, except maybe working in the garden.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's
there
right.
you go. Well, let's go to a song break, and then Julie and I will be back with some updates about the radio station and also what's going on around town. And for the next song, we're going to be listening to, the Nashville Bluegrass Band, Blackbirds and Crows.